I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Barsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. The first race of the Formula One season is in the books for 2024. This is John Massengill in the studio in Austin, Texas, with my friend Jonathan Green, joined by my cohort Bob Barsha from his studio in Atlanta. And we should have Chris Medlin with us shortly, live from the Bahrain International Circuit. Let me start with you, Mr. Green. We just watched Max Verstappen and Red Bull put on a clinic with a 1-2 fastest lap and pole
qualifying. Reminded me of a season not that long ago. last season.
That's it. Yeah. Your memory is incredible.
Thank you. I have to say, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't very exciting, was it? And it was rather predictable, and it was rather, as Rick Benjamin on the BBC called it, ominous and foreboding.
Yes. So we're going to go to Mr. Barsha to pep us, give us a pep talk, right, Bob?
Oh yeah. Very exciting stuff. That was disappointing, to be honest. And
yeah,
minimum number of teams, 5 in the top 10, 2 cars per team. And as I said in our pre-race show, you know, a few tenths of a second per lap, and Verstappen just disappears. He did it with ease. You know, he was supremely comfortable, never sounded stressed over the radio. His teammate, Sergio, came through with the second place. So he's looking much better. And note that we never saw Christian Horner on the pit wall, but we heard him congratulating his drivers. So I'm going to go ahead and assume all is well there. We nearly had a 2x2x2x2x2 finish there if Hamilton had been able to catch Lando Norris. So solid day for Mercedes, solid day for McLaren, solid day for Ferrari, but they're all still looking up at Red Bull and squabbling among themselves.
And a good start for both Perez and Sainz, two guys that we're obviously looking closely at. They needed that result. Perez needs to continue to at least play that role of runner-up. I hate to say it, because we don't like to talk about team orders, but the bottom line is that's Perez's job. Is to be ahead of the rest.
Yeah, and he did his job. Yeah. There were some interesting things happening down. There was a nice little battle with Daniel Ricciardo and Yuki Tsunoda. That was an interesting little team radio.
Interesting why they forced him, because they said he was quicker, but Yuki didn't agree.
Yeah. So, have you ever seen a driver that was told to let his driver,
his teammate? But I think they're going to be, to be honest, what really springs to mind is Williams not performing as I expected them to, and Haas and RB over delivering on what I expected from them.
Yeah, with particularly with...
perhaps.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to say, perhaps a more ominous sign is that Verstappen lapped all the way up to the 11th place car in the field.
Yeah.
So that sets the stage for some pretty boring races down the road, I would say. But again, you know, it's the beginning of a long season. The R&D efforts and the upgrades will be coming swift and sure, and we'll see what people can do about this.
Yeah, and Jonathan, you mentioned Williams. One of the reasons it's disappointing is because Logan Sargeant had a steering wheel failure and ended up...
Which, in a racing car, is... Yeah.
That's not a problem.
It's not a good thing,
everything.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I did wonder why he went... You know, when he slammed on the brakes and just went straight through the corner, he literally sounds like didn't have old steering. So.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of mechanical issues except the ones we're talking about, like a steering wheel, a broken seat for Hamilton...
And he said something about a battery issue as well.
Yeah.
But I think that's
that
the extent of all
that. Later on, he simply drained the battery down to 1%. You know, Ted Kravitz reported from the pits on the Sky broadcast that he was told to just recharge the battery. It was fine. Not so Russell, who had some brake issues. Certainly, Charles Leclerc, brake issues early on. And that was interesting. It was reported that he was having different brake performance across the front axle, which is why he was locking up unusually, loaded wheels. He was locking up one wheel in a straight line as he tried to brake.
It's like brake bias front to rear. Well, this was a problem with brake bias left to right.
Left and right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is unusual. You never hear about that. Not even on road cars.
True, true.
That's very unusual. Yeah. But what else, guys? Lance Stroll finished in the points, a lot right behind his teammate.
Well, given that he crashed in the first corner with Hülkenberg.
Since he spun at turn one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, the Haas story, really, Magnussen finishing 12th and Hülkenberg finishing 16th after having to come back and swap a wing. I think that's maybe one of the most encouraging stories of the day.
Just Hülkenberg's general form, especially in qualifying, was really impressive.
Well, yeah, but that kind of where he picked off from last year too.
I mean, everything I've read does bode well that Haas seemingly, and they proved it today, have sorted out their long problem with tire management for the race.
Yeah, I hope so. Looks like we have Chris Medland out at the Bahrain International Circuit. Mr. Medland, what's going on out there?
I've got a big sense of deja vu. I'm just trying to work it out what year it is.
You're repeating almost exactly the way we started the show.
Oh, I tell you, it's crazy. Yeah, that'll teach me to be late to the show again, but I was having a run out into the paddock. It's it was not the most thrilling evening, was it? So I'm going to go and see if anyone can offer us any hope in this post-race show, find some team members. There are going to be things we can cling on to or get excited about. I'm not actually that downbeat in that sense. But yeah, it's just the normal scrums that are happening now. So all the TV crews getting their time with the drivers. And then I'm going to do my best to doorstep them and get some walk and talks up and down the paddock to get some opinions after that opener.
Well, Chris, I'll let you answer our very first text of the day. And the text reads, does Aston have cause for concern?
I don't think so. I will try and get to my crack. Tell you what, that tells me where to go first. Let's head down to Aston Martin. Did somebody just... I don't think they do. I think if you look at where Aston Martin started last year, this is actually a similar-ish position, a little bit further back than that compared to Red Bull. The difference being much stronger teams around them. You know, McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari were all much weaker at this point of last season. So that's one of the things I actually think is a positive from where we're at right now. We've got three teams there with better baselines to build from to try and close that gap, at least as a little bit to Red Bull. But yeah, for Aston, they've done a solid job still, just not quite enough to stay ahead of the rest of that midfield group. They've slipped to the back of it it. But I wouldn't say it's cause for concern yet. They'll be disappointed, I'm sure, but I don't think they'll be concerned.
The reliability down the field is really impressive when you think about it.
We said it during the race. I was like, reliability now in Formula One is almost becoming irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's underline that point. Sean Kelly points out this is the first time there were no retirements in the first Grand Prix of a season ever in Formula
One. Wow.
Okay, so we're not crazy. Thank you, Sean Kelly.
No, not at all. I actually asked that very question as I left the media center. I said, that can't have happened many times. And I was going to say to you guys, I need to go back and research that. So thanks, Sean, for doing the research for me. But yeah, I mean, I actually think that's a problem of modern day Formula One. I think we need reliability concerns because it adds a bit of jeopardy when you're watching a race that might get a bit processional, when the gaps are spread out. If everyone's just doing a good job with their car, then everyone falls into pace order and brings it home. And it almost becomes like a glorified test session if you're not careful. So I'd miss that, I think, about Formula One of the past, is that the fact that we were pushing limits so much, it did sometimes lead to bigger gaps in performance, but it came with a trade-off of, well, something can go wrong.
All right, we're going to go to a caller, Kimberly in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys. Nothing really, well, it's kind of a question, but also like something to note that I found odd was like Yuki Tsunoda having to switch places with Daniel Ricciardo, even though they weren't really fighting for points. So I wanted to know what your thoughts were on like the strategy behind that.
Great, Jonathan.
Great question. And I, you know, the fact that you put it well, which is they weren't fighting for points. So why in the first Grand Prix of the year do you allow the glamour boy to come through for no apparent reason?
Give us something to talk about?
Well, more than that. But no, it is an odd one, isn't it? And I don't think it sets a good precedent for the V-Carb RB Visa Cash App car.
Racing Bulls, you forgot that part.
It's a good question, though, and I didn't understand.
It did seem that Yuki was kind of like fighting for, like, you know, to overtake, but it's like, well, no, forget about that. Let Daniel take the place in front of you, which I found odd, which I don't know.
No, and to be honest, you know, we've had team orders in Formula One for a long time, and they usually, it's fairly obvious why somebody is asked to move over. But in this particular instance, I found it very odd. It wasn't as though there was a title on the line or a points position. They should be.
Well,
Kimberly, go ahead. We got to have a break. But Kimberly, thank you so much for calling in and listening. We appreciate both of that.
We'll continue this discussion.
Yes, Bob's, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to.
Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Our man on the ground going to try and get Kimberly the answer to our questions.
Yes, we do have Chris Middleton there, but Chris is checking out some interviews right now. But while we wait on Chris, Bob, you want to answer Kimberly's question again? Right before the break, we said we'd
do
that.
Well, I can't really answer it. We'll need to hear from Laurent McKeese for that. But we need to keep in mind that just because you don't score points in Formula One doesn't mean that a non-scoring finish has no impact on your championship position. Because further later on, positions outside the points are ranked 11th, 12th, 13th will put you ahead of a team on equal or no points that finished 16, 17, 18. So, you know, that 11th, 12th, 13th places are still worth fighting for in the big picture.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, really good point.
But the big picture was they were going to, I mean, the idea was that Ricciardo was faster and that he could overtake Magnussen. That didn't happen. So that's why I'm with Yuki on this one.
I just like to see. I mean, this is a really interesting battle because they're all battling for the Red Bull seat. You know, in the back of their heads, the drivers are for sure.
And by the way, Tsunoda hasn't not got a drive either after this. If Honda disappear to McLaren, where's he going to go?
He is. I have really warmed up to him. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he's so he's so different, right?
He's non-Japanese way.
Yeah.
I really didn't think he was that close. Of course, we always hear, you know, if a disgruntled driver gets told to let his teammate by, he'll say, oh, you know, he's going slowly. He's getting out of the way. Back in my taxi driving days, I used to refer to a long car. That's when the dispatcher would say, okay, I need a cab at this location. And a guy who we all knew was 15 miles away said, oh, I'm right there. I'll pick it up. That's to pick up a fare. We used to call that driving a long car.
Bob,
sometimes the trailing driver in a team switch situation will be saying, oh, you're slow. I got to go by you. You know, and you're way behind him on the track. I kind of thought Tsunoda was too far behind Ricciardo to be complaining when he did.
Okay.
Bob, you've been a lawyer. You've been a television host.
And a taxi driver? Yeah, that was when the lawyering wasn't going well.
Waiter? I flipped garbage cans in high school. Let's see, what else?
Hey, Chris, I hear your microphone. What's happening out there?
Yeah, I'm just still hanging around at VCARB, RB, waiting to see if we can speak to the team principal, Laurent McKeese. He's actually in conversation now, I think, with potentially a team partner and maybe explaining exactly what I'm going to start asking him about. So, unfortunately, I can't quite butt in. I'm going to have to just see if he's willing to talk. But he's been very good to us in the past, actually, when he hasn't been too busy. So,
yeah. Chris, while we're waiting, why don't we just remind people who Laurent McKeese is and why he is where he is and where he came from?
Who, what, where, and why?
So Laurent is now the team principal at Visa Cash App RB. He was at Ferrari as the deputy team principal. But prior to that, he had a stint at the FIA. And prior to that, he was at this very team, Visa Cash App RB, when it was known as Toro Rosso and even Minardi. So do you remember when Mark Webber finished in the points in Australia, fifth place on his debut for Minardi? That would have been 2001,
yes,
I want to say. Well, when that happened, this is a history lesson. I feel like an old man. but when that happened, Laurent Mekies was one of the engine engineers for that team. So he was working on Mark Webber's car. So
cool.
That's how far back he goes with this team.
We're waiting on Chris to get Laurent Mekies. We got Tom in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hey, Tom, how's it going? What did you think of the race?
Oh, it was all right. Kind of like you thought. Appreciate the time. Love the show. Wanted to know what your guys' thoughts on. It looked like Daniel Ricciardo was a little bit quicker than Yuki, but then got lapped by Max. Didn't know if you had any insight as to how that affected.
It depressed me. I can tell you that.
Watching Max lap him.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't think it had that. Didn't have an effect on the outcome of what they were trying to do, because as Bob pointed out, that those positions are still valuable regardless of who laps who. But in the count back to the end of the season, Bob.
Well, during the broadcast, excuse me, Martin Brundle said, you know, they made the switch. Max was right there hoping to lap them. They slowed to let him by graciously. And Martin Brundle seemed to think that's what caused them to lose critical contact with Magnussen's car up ahead. And they were never able to recover from that. That may be over dramatizing it, but that's what a veteran driver thought of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, thanks. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for tuning in. Chris is still out there just checking on him and nothing there. Chris, any update yet?
I'm gesturing because I'll be offered a chance to speak to a team boss, which is lovely. I'll let you guys guess. We have a few, when I say favorites, people that are very kind to give us lots of time on this show.
James Vowles.
And we like to, it's not James Vowles, no, but I was going to say we like to get
an E
voice if we can as well.
Oh. Zach.
So Zach it is Zach Brown. He's just doing a bit of a debrief and then I'm going to jump in and get his reaction to it. It's quite funny watching how many team members just stand around just chatting to each other going like, yeah, what did you think? I don't know why. I just always think with Formula One, it would be to the minute from the second the flag drops that they'd have things to do. But there seems to be a window if you have a clean race like this where they can just take their time. So Andrea Stella is just off to my right as well, explaining things to a couple of partners, I think. And then Zach is just running through, I think, why McLaren approached the race the way they did, actually, chatting to an engineer here. So I am going to get him in a second, I promise. And you don't have to listen to my voice filling for too much longer. but it's... I've just been asking for a live, so I think they're going to pull him over here. Here we go. We're going to be demanding. Brilliant. Zach, thanks for coming over. Sorry to be so demanding. But yeah, we're live across North America and North America wants to hear from you. So how do you think today went in terms of where your expectations were for McLaren? Both cars solidly in the points.
I think it turned out to be what we thought it would be after testing, which you're never quite sure. But, summary, Max in particular in a different league once again. Ferrari, a kind of a step ahead. A battle with Merck, ourselves, and Aston. I think we confirmed the battle with Merck. I think Aston didn't quite show the pace that we thought they would over the race distance, but it's one race. But that was kind of what we expected it to be. So to get two cars in the points, bring them home, is a good way to start the season, especially if we look back 12 months.
I want to get onto that in a sec, but I'll just focus on today's race first. And Lando closing in at the end there towards George. In that fight for fifth, did he think that was on the cards if you executed everything perfectly, or was that just a case of kind of just running out of time?
Yeah, I think we just ran out of time. You're never quite sure. I think George was managing some fuel issues as well. We picked up on the radio, so I think it was very close. You know, he'd kind of get within 1.5 seconds and then lose. I think it was maybe in the last corner, a couple tenths. So it was like right as you thought he'd get in the DRS, he'd get back a couple tenths. So thing ran out of time, but it was close, right? It was 1.5 seconds, and Oscar drove a great race. So bring on Saudi.
Well, certainly, because that was not the case a year ago, was it? Let's be honest. McLaren really struggling 12 months ago, and you had a lot of work to do, and you did brilliantly during the season to get back up. I remember us doing an interview here, and you saying, I want to end the season as the fourth quickest team, but we might give ourselves too much to do points-wise. Well, you achieved that then. To start from this platform now, how encouraged are you and confident that you can be fighting for podiums and maybe the top step, or has Max shown you something that maybe not this year?
I think Max has shown once again that unless he slips on a banana peel, it'll be tough to beat. But no one else looked out of reach over the course of a year, and you know, development that we know we have coming, but we also know everyone else has development coming. But no, I definitely feel like this is a great way to start the year. Podiums and a top step, if something happens, it's pretty hard to be invincible for 24 races. So let's see.
Well, finally, marketing hat on, because obviously you came from a great marketing background. Seeing the guy that's won the last three titles and everyone hoping to gridded form and get closer, going and winning by over 20 seconds and looking pretty comfortable out front at the first race of the season. Should Formula One be worried, or do you think we're going to have more excitement this year?
Oh, I think we'll definitely have a lot of excitement. I think, let's not say Max is going to win yet, but if I had to go put some some money down at Vegas, I know who I'd bet on to be winning the championship.
I don't think you'd be alone with that, but thank you for that honest assessment.
Thanks, Chris.
Good work.
Hey, Chris, can I ask a question quickly for Zach?
You could try, actually. Bob Varsha wants to throw a question your way, Zach, so I'm going to have to relay it to you because you can't hear him. But, Bob, go ahead.
We know Zach owns and drives some pretty hairy race cars. And I know that everybody up and down the pit lane in Formula One analyzes not only what they do, but what everybody else does. Racer to racer, what is it that he thinks Max Verstappen does in the race car that makes him superior?
You're going to like this, Zach, because Bob, yeah, but Bob is praising your driving skills. He says you own some pretty hairy race cars. You know how to pedal some pretty tough machinery. And all the teams look at what everyone's doing and analyzing them. What is it that you think, or that the team thinks, gives Max the ability to go and get so much more out of his machinery than anyone else?
I mean, his talent is clearly immense. He's at one with the car. He's at one with the team. And he's clearly a massive talent. So, you know, it's hard when you don't have a teammate that's quite at the same level or see him in another car, but it's pretty hard not to say at this point that he's the class of the field and just not making any mistakes. I think that's the impressive part. Because who knows? I think he won by, 22 seconds? Could have been 32 seconds. Who knows if he was 10 tenths the whole time, which is how he tends to drive, or if he was cruising around at 8 tenths. But we'll find that out when someone puts a little bit of pressure on him at some point.
How about that? He was saying, you're a racing driver. What's this Max Verstappen kid got that you haven't?
I totally agree. I'd like to see him in one of my cars where you have to shift and use a clutch.
we'll make that happen. That's our plan for this year. We're going to make that happen. But thank you very much, Zach.
Oh, that was nice of Zach to give us
great
all
question,
that time.
Bob. Good, I like it.
Yeah, nice, Bob.
Working with guys like Derek Daly and David Hobbs and Sam Posey especially, as ex-drivers, they look at what other drivers are doing, and they can tell you just by looking. Yeah. And Sam was of the opinion that Sebastian Vettel, in his heyday, had a clear advantage over everybody else because he would get on the throttle quicker than anybody else. You know, he had the car he wanted in terms of traction, front and rear, and he would go to full throttle, sometimes even, you know, well before the apex, knowing he could control what the car is going to do on the way out. And so he had a car length or more on everybody just by virtue of that particular skill behind the wheel. Other guys, you know, whether it's left foot braking or, you know, whatever it might happen to be. But Sam thought it was Vettel's ability to get on the throttle sooner than anybody else. And that's kind of what I was thinking about when I watched Max Verstappen. What is he doing?
Yeah, it's, you said it, Jonathan. You said the same thing during the race. Mm. You said same thing that Zach just said. He doesn't make mistakes right now.
Yeah.
It was like Hamilton was when he had the car and the team. They were all one, like Zach was saying. And he just doesn't make mistakes at all right now. Guys, look at the clock. We got to take a quick break. We'll continue the discussion back after these messages.
From BBC F1, you are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I hope Jenny Gow is doing well.
Yes, I do too. I hope she comes back.
All right, so we're still...
Although, I do like Rosanna Tennant.
Yeah, she's great.
I want to get her on the show.
Yeah, we should. We've had Jenny on the show, but we need to get Rosanna.
Yep.
Chris Medlin is still out there with his microphone. He's
down. You guys taking me out of a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
fair, he says fair.
Fair enough.
Fair.
So what other stories have we missed? Greeny, what'd we miss? Just looking at the finishing order here.
The big story is unless Max Verstappen slips on a banana peel, according to Zach Brown, we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
That was the big takeaway.
Well, this just in, record orders of bananas for the upcoming races from the Formula One paddock.
Yep. Oh, the fireworks were good.
There are some uplifting points that Statman makes. I mentioned no retirements in the first race of a Formula One season ever. Magnussen gets his best result since scoring a point in Singapore 8 races ago for Haas.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, that's all good.
Right. Aston Martin scored with both cars in Bahrain for the second straight year. Piastri scored as many points in this race as he did in the first 5 races of last year.
I mean, as a talking point, I'd really like to talk about Piastri versus Lando. Because I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing battles of the year. And I'm still stunned by Piastri's elevation so quickly to being an equal, if not sometimes better, than Lando. Pretty impressive. He had a year off, remember?
Yeah.
And didn't do anything.
Now, admittedly, he was incredibly, he was kind of like the Kimi Antonelli of a few years ago. Everybody was talking about him.
But this begs my next question, which is what happens to Drogovic, for example? You know, these guys are coming through, and if they get a chance to shine like Sargeant has and like, you know, it just does, what I'm getting at is Piastri, you know, are we hiding, you know, some really, really talented drivers by not giving them a chance? What could Lawson be doing? What could Drogovic be doing? I don't know.
Mm. All right, I think one thing to say on that is I was going to say that you've got to think that the best ones do get that chance. You know, they almost force their way into it. So Piastri couldn't be ignored by even other teams, and that's why he ended up as a tug of war between Alpine and McLaren. And I think when another driver shows that level, they will get stuck in and make sure they get a seat on the grid.
I think
it was said that the reason Toto Wolff only signed Lewis to a short, 2 or 3 year contract, because he didn't want Kimi Antonelli to get snatched away. Antonelli, the 17-year-old star, who didn't have a glittering weekend in F2, we should point out.
Yeah.
But congratulations to our buddy Jack Crawford,
who
came through, took pole and second place in the sprint race, the first of the two Formula 2 races this weekend in Bahrain, and sadly retired from the second race. But he's off to a good start.
Really good start.
But hey, I want to talk about a couple of tweets. One was Scott McLaughlin, IndyCar driver. He says, yeah, why wouldn't you want two extra cars on the grid? Andretti reference there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you guys let that machinate inside your head. Did you see, there's a tweet by The Race. They said, unseen by F1's TV feed, the Red Bull drivers almost collided on the cooldown lap. Tsunoda, frustrated by the late race team order, dived into the inside of Ricciardo at turn 8, and the two almost collided on the exit.
Oh, I didn't see
that. And then Ricciardo's team radio says, what the F? I'll save it. He's a effing helmet, referring to his teammate. So there's a little bit of...
Who said that?
That was Ricciardo on Tsunoda's cooldown lap overtake.
Okay. He's a helmet.
He's a helmet, which I guess is a derogatory...
Knucklehead.
Knucklehead, yeah.
Definitely an offensive term, yes.
Yeah.
He's a helmet.
Bonehead, bird brain, whatever you want to call it.
It's
a bell end.
Yeah. It might be a bit more explicit, I'm afraid, to do with the male anatomy.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I didn't...
You're not there? Come on, man.
Apologies, everyone else.
I'm serious.
Sorry, well, America, women have Canada. Heads, too.
I'm not joking.
Men and women both have heads. That's not, you know, a surprise.
We completely got off the rails.
Guys, this tittle-tattle is good, but we really should be talking about the amazing effect the one-lap DRS had.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The one-lap DRS. Now we've taken it.
They went from two laps to one.
So you can see the results have been stunning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. John's on his phone, so.
Sorry.
The field's bunched up. Everybody is within 1 second of everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's, it does make things a little more frantic as people try to open up a 1 second gap so the guy behind can't use DRS on him.
Yeah. Well... Yes, I'm just looking at some of the responses on the social media right now about the race. Some of them are not pretty, but
come on, share.
No, they're just saying, hey, look,
Yuki got a bit hot headed and sort of ran into Daniel Ricciardo on the cooldown lap.
Yeah.
And
you know, people are saying, you know, we're just having a repeat of 2023. But look, it's too early to call all that, right? It's too early.
Oh, way too early.
Yeah. What else, guys? Let's see here. Alonso finishing ninth. We touched on Lance Stroll.
That was a disappointment for me, is that Aston Martin faded when you watched that qualifying laps yesterday.
Yeah.
They really looked good.
Yeah. Man, after qualifying.
And in the race, he spoke to his team on the radio and said something along the lines of, you know, that's okay. He lost positions from the start, fell back inside the top 10, said, that's okay. It's a long race. We'll let them wear themselves out. We'll get them. And then, of course, he basically didn't. So I'd like to know from Fernando what exactly, you know, happened as his car evolved during the race.
One question mark does glaringly stand out, though, is what's going to happen at Alpine. I mean, I know it's the first race and there's a long way to go, but it doesn't bode well. I don't think they're hitting the ground running in any way, shape, or form.
That is a huge team disappointment. And as I mentioned on the pre-race show, people are putting it down to too many folks in the big office tower, and whether it's in Enstone or in Viry or in Paris or wherever, thinking they're all knowledgeable about racing and not letting their racing people handle what goes on in the factory and on the track.
Is the team principal Famine?
Bruno Famine?
Yeah.
That's a question for Chris. I believe that's his title.
Yes, he is.
And is he a racing man?
Originally, and then said he's going to stay on. So he's the team principal, almost self-appointed. But he said unless his bosses tell him they want him to appoint someone else, then that's going to be his job.
And is he a racing man historically?
He was part of already part of Alpine as the vice president of Alpine Motorsports, I believe. So he had like a bigger role across multiple avenues. So, I think that was one where it wasn't meant to be full time, and then they felt that maybe they thought it was a bigger job that needed doing, and that he could take charge of that. But yeah, he's going to continue as the team principal.
We've got a caller, but I want to ask you about Haas in the same vein.
Well, that's what the caller's calling about.
Hey,
because it's Drew, and Drew is quite vocal about the Haas team, and I love that. Drew, welcome to the show, buddy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Congrats on another season. Great show. Looking forward to listening the whole season.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just wanted to say, bright spot for Haas. No one really talked about it, but we didn't see that. Didn't see the tire deg this year. They kind of kept the
Yeah, your little one was excited by that one. I can tell.
I got her in a Haas onesie, actually.
She leapt out and went screamed.
Where's the tweet with the photo?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's see it.
I'll dig it up once we're stopped driving. But
anyway, carry on.
I was really, it's nice to see a spike, that bright spot. We saw the 1, 2, 3 laps, and then suddenly they fall off. But they had very consistent pace, even in both cars. Those lap times stayed the same. So for once, I don't have to be too negative. So
you know what?
Great job, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Drew. I'm gonna give Drew a lot of credit. Thanks, Drew. Go take care of the kids and hands on the wheel. Drew was one of the first. He started calling for a new team principal pretty early days. At least 2 years ago.
That's right, to get rid of Gunter. I do remember this.
He was saying, look, he's had his shot, and we're not getting there. And whatever that meant, right? Whatever. Yeah. If it took Gunther to leave to shake it up, or if it took Gunther to leave to make Gene go, all right, I really am going to spend some money, or let's face it, IO has produced results in his first race.
Yeah.
So, and he gets all the credit because the buck stops there.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Let's see what else. We do have the Crawford interview, but let's see how long it's. It's about 5 minutes, so we're going to wait till after the break. So we have Jack Crawford, who's an American, who I think he was born in Florida, raised in Texas, and is racing in Formula 2 back this year. So we'll hear from him.
And lots of good stories about him. We'll talk more. We need to talk more about he and Carrera together in Dams. That's going to be interesting.
Yep.
What is your take on Komatsu at the top of Haas? That interview that we ran at the top of the show was really positive, I thought, and it just seems like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I do. I think it's just been a reset that team needed, actually. I think, without criticising what Gunther was doing, sometimes you just need a fresh set of eyes on something and a new approach just to see if it changes anything. And at the very least, I think that the reaction from the team has been positive. I think they've really taken to having AO in charge, and kind of they've backed him so far. They've seen probably results with the approach, or they're happy to see a different approach. But the big, big task for Haas this year is going to be improving that car through the season. That's something they couldn't do last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a slight word of warning was that here, I believe points were scored in the first race last year. So those issues they were having didn't rear its head here.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I hope Jenny Gow is doing well.
Yes, I do too. I hope she comes back.
All right, so we're still...
Although, I do like Rosanna Tennant.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
I want to get her on the show.
Yeah, we should. We should. We've had Jenny on the show, but we need to get Rosanna.
Yep.
Chris Medlin is still out there with his microphone. He's
down. You guys taking me out of a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
Fair, he says fair.
Fair enough.
Fair.
So what other stories have we missed? Greeny, what'd we miss? What'd we miss? Just looking at the finishing order here.
The big story is unless Max Verstappen slips on a banana peel, according to Zach Brown, we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
That was the big takeaway.
Well, this just in, record orders of bananas for the upcoming races from the Formula One paddock.
Yep. Oh, the fireworks were good.
There are some uplifting points that Statman makes. I mentioned no retirements in the first race of a Formula One season ever. Magnussen gets his best result since scoring a point in Singapore 8 races ago for Haas.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, that's
all
good. Right.
12th. Aston Martin scored with both cars in Bahrain for the second straight year. Piastri scored as many points in this race as he did in the first 5 races of last year.
I mean, as a talking point, I'd really like to talk about Piastri versus Lando, because I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing battles of the year. And I'm still stunned by Piastri's elevation so quickly to being an equal, if not sometimes better, than Lando. Pretty impressive. He had a year off, remember?
Yeah.
And didn't do anything.
Now, admittedly, he was kind of like the Kimi Antonelli of a few years ago. Everybody was talking about him.
But this begs my next question, which is what happens to Drogovic, for example? You know, these guys are coming through, and if they get a chance to shine like Sargeant has and like, what I'm getting at is Piastri, you know, are we hiding, you know, some really, really talented drivers by not giving them a chance? What could Lawson be doing? What could Drogovic be doing? I don't know.
Mm. All right, I think one thing just to say on that I was going to say that you've got to think that the best ones do get that chance. You know, they almost force their way into it. So Piastri couldn't be ignored by even other teams, and that's why he ended up as a tug of war between Alpine and McLaren. And I think when another driver shows that level, they will get stuck in and make sure they get a seat on the grid.
I think
it was said that the reason Toto Wolff only signed Lewis to a short, 2 or 3 year contract, because he didn't want Kimi Antonelli to get snatched away. Antonelli, the 17-year-old star, who didn't have a glittering weekend in F2, we should point out.
Yeah.
But congratulations to our buddy Jack Crawford, Yeah. He came through, took pole and second place in the sprint race, the first of the two Formula Two races this weekend in Bahrain, and sadly retired from the second race. But he's off to a good start.
Really good start.
But hey, I want to talk about a couple of tweets. One was Scott McLaughlin, IndyCar driver. He says, yeah, why wouldn't you want two extra cars on the grid? Andretti reference there. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you guys let that machinate inside your head. Did you see, there's a tweet by The Race. They said, unseen by F1's TV feed, the Red Bull drivers almost collided on the cooldown lap. Tsunoda, frustrated by the late race team order, dived into the inside of Ricciardo at turn eight, and the two almost collided on the exit.
Oh, I didn't see
it. And then Ricciardo's team radio says, what the F? I'll save it. He's a effing helmet, referring to his teammate. So there's a little bit of...
Who said that?
That was Ricciardo on Tsunoda's cooldown lap overtake.
Okay. He's a helmet.
He's a helmet, which I guess is a derogatory...
Knucklehead.
Knucklehead, yeah.
Definitely an offensive term, yes.
Yeah.
He's a helmet.
Bonehead, bird brain, whatever you want to call it.
It's
a bell end.
Yeah. It might be a bit more explicit, I'm afraid, to do with the male anatomy.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I didn't.
You're not there. Come on, man.
Apologies, everyone else.
I'm serious.
Sorry, well, America, women have Canada. Heads. Too.
I'm not joking.
Men and women both have heads. That's not, you know, yeah. A surprise.
We completely got off the rails.
Guys, yeah. this tittle tattle is good, but we really should be talking about the amazing effect the one lap DRS had.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The one-lap DRS. Now we've taken it.
They went from two laps to one.
So you can see the results have been stunning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. John's on his phone, so.
Sorry.
The field's bunched up. Everybody is within 1 second of everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's, it does make things a little more frantic as people try to open up a one-second gap so the guy behind can't use DRS on him.
Yeah. Well... Yes, I'm just looking at some of the responses on the social media right now about the race. Some of them are not pretty, but
come on, share.
No, they're just saying, hey, look,
Yuki got a bit hot headed and sort of ran into Daniel Ricciardo on the cooldown lap. Yeah. And
you know, people are saying, you know, we're just having a repeat of 2023. But look, it's too early to call all that, right? It's too early.
Oh, way too early.
Yeah. What else, guys? Let's see here. Alonso finishing ninth. We touched on Lance Stroll.
That was a disappointment for mm-hmm. me, is that Aston Martin faded when you watched the qualifying laps yesterday,
yeah.
They really looked good.
Yeah. Man, after qualifying.
And in the race, he spoke to his team on the radio and said something along the lines of, you know, that's okay. He lost positions from the start, fell back inside the top 10, said, that's okay. It's a long race. We'll let them wear themselves out. We'll get them. And then, of course, he basically didn't. So I'd like to know from Fernando what exactly, you know, happened as his car evolved during the race.
One question mark does glaringly stand out, though, is what's going to happen at Alpine. I mean, I know it's the first race and there's a long way to go, but it doesn't bode well. I don't think they're hitting the ground running in any way, shape, or form.
That is a huge team disappointment. And as I mentioned on the pre-race show, people are putting it down to too many folks in the big office tower, and whether it's in Enstone or in Viry or in Paris or wherever, thinking they're all knowledgeable about racing and not letting their racing people handle what goes on in the factory and on the track.
Is the team principal Famin?
Bruno Famin?
Yeah.
That's a question for Chris. I believe that's
his
title.
Yes, he is.
And is he a racing man?
Originally, and then said he's going to stay on. So he's the team principal, almost self-appointed, but he said unless his bosses tell him they want him to appoint someone else, then that's going to be his job.
And is he a racing man historically?
He was part of already part of Alpine as the vice president of Alpine Motorsports, I believe. So he had like a bigger role across multiple avenues. So, I think that was one where it wasn't meant to be full time. And then they felt that, I don't know, maybe they thought it was a bigger job that needed doing and that he could take charge of that. But yeah, he's going to continue as the team principal.
We've got a caller, but I want to ask you about Haas in the same vein.
Well, that's what the caller's calling about.
Hey!
Because it's Drew, and Drew is quite vocal about the Haas team, and I love that. Drew, welcome to the show, buddy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Congrats on another season. Great show. Looking forward to listening the whole season.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say, bright spot for Haas. No one really talked about it, but we didn't see that. Didn't see the tire deg this year. They kind of kept the
Yeah, your little one was excited by that one. I can tell.
I got her in a Haas onesie, actually.
Well, as soon as you said Haas, she leapt out and went screamed.
Where's the tweet with the photo?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's see it.
I'll dig it up once we stop driving. But
anyway, carry on.
I was really, you know, it's nice to see a spike, you know, that bright spot. We saw the 1, 2, 3 laps, and then suddenly they fall off. But they had very consistent pace, even in both cars. Those lap times stayed the same. So for once, I don't have to be too negative. So
you know what?
Great job, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Drew. I'm gonna give Drew a lot of credit. Thanks, Drew. Go take care of the kids and hands on the wheel. Drew was one of the first. He started calling for a new team principal pretty early days.
Okay.
At least 2 years ago.
That's right, to get rid of Gunter.
I
do remember this.
He was saying, look, he's had his shot, and we're not getting there. And whatever that meant, right? If it took Gunther to leave to shake it up, or if it took Gunther to leave to make Gene go, all right, I really am going to spend some money, or let's face it, IO has produced results in his first race.
Yep.
So, and he gets all the credit because the buck stops there.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Let's see what else. We do have the Crawford interview, but let's see how long it's. It's about 5 minutes. So we're going to wait till after the break. So we have Jack Crawford, who's an American, who I think he was born in Florida, raised in Texas, and is racing in Formula 2 back this year. So we'll hear from him.
And lots of good stories about him. We'll talk more. We need to talk more about he and Carrera together in dams. That's going to be interesting.
Yep.
What is your take on Komatsu at the top of Haas? That interview that we ran at the top of the show was really positive, I thought, and it just seems like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I do. I think it's just been a reset that team needed, actually. I think, you know, without criticizing what Gunther was doing, sometimes you just need a fresh set of eyes on something and a new approach just to see if it changes anything. And at the very least, I think that the reaction from the team has been positive. I think they've really taken to having AO in charge, and kind of they've backed him so far. They've seen probably results with the approach, or they're happy to see a different approach. But the big, big task for Haas this year is going to be improving that car through the season. That's something they couldn't do last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a slight word of warning was that here, I believe points were scored in the first race last year. So those issues they were having didn't rear its head here. Certainly early on, they picked up some points, didn't they? They had some better race pace. So that's one where I feel like we've just got to be careful not to get too carried away. Waffling on for so long has paid off, because Fred has kindly joined me. I don't think he's glad that he's putting up with me. But Fred, you kicked off the season with and he spit out his water for me making that joke. You kicked off the season with a podium, and you looked pretty competitive against Perez, the second Red Bull. Was the gap to Max kind of what you were expecting?
Well, I didn't expect something before the race. I was focused on myself and to try to do the best. Situation is that yesterday we were able to fight for the pole position. The pace was there. Today, Carlos did a very strong job, and he's matching with Checo. On Charles, it was more difficult. We had a big issue with the brakes. The first 20 laps of the race, he lost the pass of the first stint, and he was able, when the brakes were switching on, that he was able to come back to have a decent pace, and at the end to score the points of P4. And this kind of conditions and situation, I think it's a good result. It's important points for him, for the team, for the to start the championship on the right foot, and I'm quite pleased with this.
Do you feel you've continued the momentum you had from the second half of last season? Because you kind of emerged as the second strongest team then, and you've certainly started that here too.
Yeah, but we have to pay attention that Bahrain is a bit different. We need 3 days of testing. The tarmac is very aggressive. Next week, it will be a different story, and we don't have to draw a conclusion too early. That it will be.
He's fighting with Red Bull personnel right now.
No, we have to pay attention that Jeddah will be a different story, and not to draw a conclusion after one race. We have still 23 to go, but it's at least a decent start.
And people are already worried that we're going to get a repeat of 2023. Max is going to go win pretty much every race. From your position with what you're doing with Ferrari, the momentum you're building, the progress you're making, are you hopeful that won't be the case? But,
I'm not thinking about this. I'm thinking about how we can do a better job tomorrow, how we can improve the situation for Jeddah. We had exactly this approach last year, and it paid off at the end because that we were able to catch up. It means that we are starting in a better shape than 12 months ago. But let's have the same approach as last year.
Great stuff. Fred, thank you very much.
Nicely
said. That really does sum up the Ferrari position, I think, brilliantly.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, great. Thank you. Let's get this quick break in, and we got a caller holding. Eric, hold on to the phone, and we'll get to you after the break. You listen to Speed City F1 back after these.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Leno, for bringing us back. Hope you're safe these days. I haven't heard anything about a fire or a motorcycle crash in about a year now, so hopefully he's all good. We have Eric. He's calling from Ohio, and it's his first year into F1. He's a Netflix convert. Eric, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Yeah, first-time listener. First time watching Formula One, and basically because my son and I were enthralled by the Netflix documentary, which we binge watched from start to finish, basically. And I was just curious if you know how that series or how Netflix impacted F1 as far as viewership and watching and so on.
I don't know if it's affected it at all, Eric. actually, Eric, I love your rookie take on this because the Netflix series has been probably the most successful of anything of its kind. It's been worth billions.
And let me tell you, me and Bob Varsha have been banging this drum to try to attract Formula One to America for some 30 years. And there's no question, if we'd have known that Netflix was around the corner, we may not have pushed as hard as we did to try to get everybody excited. But to be honest, it has basically move the needle for American fans.
Well, here's...
Actually, if I could simply say this, I've been into racing forever. I mean, I was a huge Montoya fan back in the cup days, and never even considered F1 until the documentary.
Interesting.
Wow. Well, so you are in the middle of one of the complaints about Formula One. Look, it's the fact that when we get into these eras
of domination.
Yeah, where a car is dominant, like right now, like the Red Bull car. Is this bothering you right now?
It does not. I mean, they're so close. I mean, you've got crashes. And I think the big thing what Netflix did, where they did a heck of a job, was with the personality of the drivers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really what pulls people in. I mean, in anything, you know, any given day, anything can happen, I guess. But no, the dominance doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, and you know, like the story we're talking about, Ricciardo and Tsunoda, you know, everybody's got an internal story within the team, whether it be Gasly not liking Ocon. Clearly, we got another one here. Alonso is always a very charismatic and disruptive dude. You've got Gunter in, out. There's so much intrigue. There's so much going on in Formula One.
Mm. Without question. Well, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Not at all. Keep tuning in.
Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. TV ratings rose by 25% per year from 2018 to 2022. Last year was flat because I think it's pretty obvious because of Max Verstappen's dominance. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Bob Varsha.
Well, especially, you know, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery. NASCAR and IndyCar both have projects out there right now along the lines of Drive to Survive.
Has anybody seen the NASCAR one? Apparently it's pretty good. I heard
everybody I've talked to says it's really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Okay, as promised, Chris Mellon caught up with American Formula 2 driver Jack Crawford. Jack is just signed to back up for another season in Formula 2, so let's hear from him now.
So, Jack, thanks very much for joining us at the end of your Bahrain Grand Prix weekend. I know you're going to watch the Formula 1 race now, but from a Formula 2 perspective, it started well. You got a trophy on day one, and today in the feature race, it looked like maybe another trophy was on the cards, and it all went away with a technical issue. What happened at your pit stop?
Yeah, so we had a roll bearing issue with the clutch. So basically, my clutch failed on the start, and it was doomed to, from the beginning, from when I was going to make a pit stop, I needed to pull the clutch, and yeah, the clutch wasn't there. So yeah, it happened at the very start, so I launched and it failed. So I was destined from the beginning to retire from the race, and it was affecting quite a lot the straight line speed as well, so I could feel that. So we were a bit off the pace because of that, but still we were still looking on for probably a podium result, which was strong. So
well, did you know then that when you came into the pits it was going to happen, or did the team tell you when it happened, if that makes sense?
No, I wasn't entirely sure, because on my start I had a really good launch, but then all of a sudden I felt this huge sort of bump on the rear, and it felt like the rears had locked up on the start, and I lost a bit of time. I was a bit confused, so I had a bit of doubt going into it, and then yeah, there was no warning. I pulled into the pits and nothing, that it just was not there. So
well, it's such a frustrating end to the weekend, but the positives were, as you say, the pace during today's race was great, but also podium yesterday as well. So kind of apart from the disappointment I'm sure you're feeling right now, how do you reflect on how well your first race weekend with Dams has gone?
Yeah, it's gone really well. We struggled in qualifying. We didn't put everything together, whether it was from my side or the team side. So we still ended up P10, which is a miracle considering all the issues we had. We had a hydraulic failure. I had a spin on the first run, and so it was a big mess in qualifying, and as well we missed some pace compared to the test. But we know, at least we know what to improve for qualifying, and then, you know, the race pace was there. We missed a bit to Maloney in the sprint yesterday, but I think we made good changes for today. But obviously we weren't able to show that because I was down about 10 kph in straight line speed, so it was a bit unfortunate. But you know, going ahead to Saudi, you know, we still have the new car. I'm still, you know, it's very early in the season, and although it's nice to gain points quite early on in the season, it was good to, I think I'm sixth in the championship with just my 8 points yesterday. So it's a long season, and you know, we've only driven Bahrain and Barcelona in this new car, so we come to a new track for the car, and I think the team is going to do a good job on giving me a car for Jeddah.
Well, yeah, and a very long season. You mentioned it is also a lot of travel. You got Jeddah next, and then Australia is the next round after that. But what are your targets for this second season in Formula 2? And you have made the move to Dams, so a new team to try and achieve those targets with.
Yeah, I think the targets are a bit more clear now after testing in the race. I think we can fight to be in the top three and fight for the championship. Obviously, you know, it's a long season, and the teams will learn a lot, and you know, we might have some up and down weekends, but you know, I think we can have a really good season. I think this weekend shows that we can fight at the front consistently in every race, and I think as well, you know, what we found with the car applies to all tracks, so it's not just a one track wonder kind of thing. So
well, let's also talk about another exciting development for you this year. You stood here as we talk in a lovely green hoodie that carries the emblem of the Aston Martin Aramco Formula One team. So you've moved Formula One programs. What's it like being part of Aston Martin?
Yeah, it's been great so far. Everyone's really nice and lovely, and you know, they came and visited me on the podium yesterday, some of the guys and girls. So it was really cool to see that, and you know, I haven't been with them for very long, but it's been very productive and very, very fun so far. So I've enjoyed my time.
Are you going to be watching the race with them here in the garage as well? Is that the aim?
Yeah, that's the aim. That's the aim.
Well, that sounds cool, but I bet you'd rather be driving a car. So will there be any testing of older cars this year? Is that on the cards for you?
Yeah, I have already two test days planned, sort of middle of the year. So I will drive the car at some point. So that's something I'm very excited for, and that's something I'm really, really looking forward to. So
the neck training ramping up already?
Sorry?
It's the neck training ramping up already?
Yeah, the neck training has been going up and up and up every single time. So,
wow, awesome. Thank you very much for giving us your time. Enjoy the race today, and good luck to you and your new team.
All right, thanks.
That would be worth the price of admission. No matter what happens in his career, he gets to drive a Formula One car. It may be a generation or two old, but still.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm super excited
and,
for Jack.
You know, we're going to stay on this story because Jack is definitely the brightest hope, I would argue, to get to Formula One. For the USA as the next guy to make it.
Yeah, man, can you imagine?
He would also get to drive a current generation car, but it'll be the 2022 car because you can only drive something that's 2 years old.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
The,
yeah,
the ground effect cars. So that's cool for it.
That's huge. Yeah, yeah. I misspoke. Mm-hmm. You're right. Not just, you know, current year, but current generation. I mean, that's huge, huge. Imagine the difference driving one of those downforce cars compared to anything else he's driven, for sure. Here's a really good comment on YouTube. Woodsource says, Merck makes sense for signs. It would be informative about where Toto and the Merck leadership, his head is at. Will they feel diminished by taking on driving this release by Ferrari? I don't know about that part of it, but I'd like the idea of talking about, you know, that was the obvious, right? A direct swap for Hamilton and Sainz, Mercedes and Ferrari. But Carlos Sainz was going after it for today with his performance and his aggressiveness. But Greeny, what do you think about that?
His aggressiveness or not?
No, just the idea of does Merck make sense for Sainz?
I really do. I agree with Chris on that one. It does make sense, and they've got to be careful. I don't think. I mean, Russell is now leading in this team. You've got to kind of put Hamilton aside, right? So the team leader is Russell. That's their next world champion. That's the way you got to think about this. So how, if that is the case, because I don't believe that Alonso would be a good move at all. Yeah. So the question is, do you bring a kid like Kimi Antonelli in, or do you complement him with a solid pair of hands, a Perez-like person, and Sainz is that. So, and also, you've got to think, constructors is just as important to Toto. And so, unlike Perez, he wants somebody like Sainz who is going to be pushing, at least. I mean, you think about it, that's a hell of a pairing, those two.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about the world title, then yeah, that is the right choice.
Yeah. And look, we'll see how Mercedes looks as the year goes on, too. We've got plenty of time for them to work on their car. Chris, sounds awfully quiet in Bahrain.
Yeah, it's gone quiet now. Everyone's kind of packing up to get things to Jeddah, but shipping out a lot of them. And there's some music going on the other side of the grandstand, but it does seem to have died down a little bit at the moment. A lot of debriefs going on. I was hanging around a lot still at VCARB or RB because I really do want to get the bottom of what's gone on there with Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo. Now, it sounds like Laurent Mercier is really having to fight a fire there. There's a lot going on. As I said about Sonoda's manager maybe being upset, but as you guys have alluded to, there's this footage of the final lap that is pretty damning towards Sonoda. That's something that you really don't want to be doing. And from the Ricciardo camp, they're kind of like, wow, that was massively unexpected, but also massively dangerous and does need kind of ironing out. They're like, we can't have the risk of the cars getting damaged there. And, you know, if contact had been made, the two cars had been damaged, I imagine we'd be seeing Liam Lawson driving for VCARB next weekend.
Wow!
Because that's yeah. I mean, well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean,
he's proven that he can do
what
it.
You got to do. That.
Yeah, that's really all you can do is sit the guy.
And so, if this continues,
having seen the imagery now, it's bad, isn't it? So it is. I think that's, you know, Mekis hasn't emerged yet. So
and Helmut Marko wouldn't have a problem at all.
Yeah, Helmut Marko, that's his favorite thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Swap a driver?
I don't think their former boss, Franz Tost, wouldn't stand for it either.
Nope.
He's right cut from the Helmut Marko mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, though, that the big strength of Yuki in recent years, that people have been talking about, has been the way he's become calmer behind the wheel.
Yeah.
The way everything's kind of chilled out. And the fact that now... we've had the first race, and after the race, he's shown that sort of
after the race,
lack of control of his emotions. Yeah,
and why take it out on Ricciardo? It's not really Ricciardo's fault, is it?
Mm. No, and the feedback I've had is that Yuki was actually told two laps earlier than that to move over to sort the positions, and we heard the team radio where it's like, "Are you kidding me now?" And I think I do kind of understand that point of view for him, but with the tire difference that they had, it was the time to try something for the team, mm-hmm. but he delayed a couple of laps, and they're saying, look, you've got the soft tires and you're trying to get a little bit of the advantage from that, and then suddenly, you know, the driver head doesn't move over and you're in a dirty air for a bit longer and you're having to basically not use them at the time you want to use them, then that's damaging to your chances too. So
do you think could have caught Magnussen done what they were supposed to do?
Certainly, potentially, yeah. He'd have the would have had a better chance, I think is the point, but it's fine margins, isn't it? It's small hypothetical things. But yeah, I think he would have had a better shot at it.
All right, we're out of time, everybody. And Chris just said, Wheel to Wheel, our midweek show. Look it up. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to listen to that and everything else we do. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Leno, for bringing us back. Hope you're safe these days. I haven't heard anything about a fire or a motorcycle crash in about a year now, so hopefully he's all good. We have Eric. He's calling from Ohio, and it's his first year into F1. He's a Netflix convert. Eric, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Yeah, first-time listener, first-time watching Formula One. And basically, because my son and I were enthralled by the Netflix documentary, which we binge watched from start to finish, basically. And I was just curious if you know how that series or how Netflix impacted F1 as far as viewership and watching and so on.
I don't know if it's affected it at all, Eric. actually, Eric, I love your rookie take on this, because the Netflix series has been probably the most successful of anything of its kind. It's been worth billions.
And let me tell you, me and Bob Varsha have been banging this drum to try to attract Formula One to America for some 30 years. And there's no question, if we'd have known that Netflix was around the corner, we may not have pushed as hard as we did to try to get everybody excited. But to be honest, it has basically move the needle for American fans.
Well,
actually, if I could simply say this, I've been into racing forever. I mean, I was a huge Montoya fan back in the Kurt days, and never even considered F1 until the documentary.
Interesting.
Wow. Well, so you are in the middle of one of the complaints about Formula One. Look, it's the fact that when we get into these eras
of domination.
Yeah, where a car is dominant, like right now, like the Red Bull car. Is this bothering you right now?
It does not. I mean, they're so close. I mean, you've got crashes. I think the big thing what Netflix did, where they did a heck of a job, was with the personality of the drivers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really what pulls people in. I mean, in anything, you know, any given day, anything can happen, I guess. But no, the dominance doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, and you know, like the story we're talking about, Ricciardo and Tsunoda, you know, everybody's got an internal story within the team, whether it be Gasly not liking Ocon. Clearly, we got another one here. Alonso is always a very charismatic and disruptive dude. You've got Gunter in, out. There's so much intrigue. There's so much going on in Formula One.
Mm. Without question. Well, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Not at all. Keep tuning in.
Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. TV ratings rose by 25% per year.
Wow.
From 2018 to 2022. Last year was flat, because I think it's pretty obvious because of Max Verstappen's dominance. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Bob Varsha.
Well, especially, you know, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery. NASCAR and IndyCar both have projects out there right now along the lines of Drive to Survive.
Has anybody seen the NASCAR one? Apparently it's pretty good. I haven't seen it yet.
Everybody I've talked to says it's really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Okay, as promised, Chris Mellon caught up with American Formula 2 driver Jack Crawford. Jack is just signed to back up for another season in Formula 2, so let's hear from him now.
So, Jack, thanks very much for joining us at the end of your Bahrain Grand Prix weekend. I know you're going to watch the Formula 1 race now, but from a Formula 2 perspective, it started well. You got a trophy on day one, and today in the feature race, it looked like maybe another trophy was on the cards, and it all went away with a technical issue. What happened at your pit stop?
Yeah, so we had a roll bearing issue with the clutch. So basically, my clutch failed on the start, and it was doomed to from the beginning. From when I was going to make a pit stop, I needed to pull the clutch, and yeah, the clutch wasn't there. So it happened at the very start. So I launched and it failed. So I was destined from the beginning to retire from the race, and it was affecting quite a lot the straight line speed as well, so I could feel that. So we were a bit off the pace because of that, but still we were still looking on for probably a podium result, which was strong. So
what did you know then that when you came into the pits it was going to happen, or did the team tell you when it happened, if that makes sense?
No, I wasn't entirely sure, because on my start I had a really good launch, but then all of a sudden I felt this huge sort of bump on the rear, and it felt like the rears had locked up on the start, and I lost a bit of time. I was a bit confused, so I had a bit of doubt going into it, and then there was no warning. I pulled into the pits and nothing, that it just was not there. So
well, it's such a frustrating end to the weekend, but the positives were, as you say, the pace during today's race was great, but also podium yesterday as well. So kind of apart from the disappointment I'm sure you're feeling right now, how do you reflect on how well your first race weekend with Dams has gone?
Yeah, it's gone really well. We struggled in qualifying. We didn't put everything together, whether it was from my side or the team side. So we still ended up P10, which is a miracle considering all the issues we had. We had a hydraulic failure. I had a spin on the first run, and so it was a big mess in qualifying, and as well we missed some pace compared to the test. But we know, at least we know what to improve for qualifying, and then, you know, the race pace was there. We missed a bit to Maloney in the sprint yesterday, but I think we made good changes for today. But obviously we weren't able to show that because I was down about 10 kph in straight line speed, so it was a bit unfortunate. But you know, going ahead to Saudi, you know, we still have the new car. I'm still, you know, it's very early in the season, and although it's nice to gain points quite early on in the season, it was good to, I think I'm sixth in the championship with just my 8 points yesterday. So it's a long season, and you know, we've only driven Bahrain and Barcelona in this new car, so we come to a new track for the car, and I think the team is going to do a good job on giving me a car for Jeddah.
Well, yeah, and a very long season. You mentioned it is also a lot of travel. You got Jeddah next, and then Australia is the next round after that. But what are your targets for this second season in Formula 2? And you have made the move to Dams, so a new team to try and achieve those targets with.
Yeah, I think the targets are a bit more clear now after testing in the race. I think we can fight to be in the top three and fight for the championship. Obviously, you know, it's a long season, and the teams will learn a lot, and you know, we might have some up and down weekends, but you know, I think we can have a really good season. I think this weekend shows that we can fight at the front consistently in every race, and I think as well, you know, what we found with the car applies to all tracks, so it's not just a one track wonder kind of thing. So
well, let's also talk about another exciting development for you this year. You stood here as we talk in a lovely green hoodie that carries the emblem of the Aston Martin Aramco Formula One team. So you've moved Formula One programs. What's it like being part of Aston Martin?
Yeah, it's been great so far. Everyone's really nice and lovely, and you know, they came and visited me on the podium yesterday, some of the guys and girls. So it was really cool to see that. And you know, I haven't been with them for very long, but it's been very productive and very, very fun so far. So I've enjoyed my time.
Are you going to be watching the race with them here in the garage as well? Is that the aim?
Yeah, that's the aim. That's the aim.
Well, that sounds cool, but I bet you'd rather be driving a car. So will there be any testing of older cars this year? Is that on the cards for you?
Yeah, I have already two test days planned, sort of middle of the year. So I will drive the car at some point. So that's something I'm very excited for, and that's something I'm really, really looking forward to. So
the neck training ramping up already?
Sorry?
Is the neck training ramping up already?
Oh yeah, the neck training has been going up and up and up every single time. So
awesome. Thank you very much for giving us your time. Enjoy the race today, and good luck to you and your new team.
All right, thanks.
That would be worth the price of admission. No matter what happens in his career, he gets to drive a Formula One car. It may be a generation or two old, but still.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm super excited
and,
for Jack.
You know, we're going to stay on this story because Jack is definitely the brightest hope, I would argue, to get to Formula One for the USA as the next guy to make it.
Yeah. Man, can you imagine?
He would also get to drive a current generation car, but it'll be the 2022 car because you can only drive something that's 2 years old.
Yeah, so sorry.
The ground effect cars. So that's cool for him.
That's huge. Yeah, I misspoke. Mm-hmm. You're right. Not just, you know, current year, but current generation. I mean, that's huge, huge. Imagine the difference driving one of those downforce cars compared to anything else he's driven, for sure. Here's a really good comment on YouTube. Woodsource says, Merck makes sense for signs. It would be informative about where Toto and the Merck leadership, his head is at. Will they feel diminished by taking on driving this release by Ferrari? I don't know about that part of it, but I'd like the idea of talking about, you know, that was the obvious, right? A direct swap for Hamilton and Sainz, Mercedes and Ferrari. But Carlos Sainz was going after it for today with his performance and his aggressiveness. But Greeny, what do you think about that?
His aggressiveness or not?
No, just the idea of does Merck make sense for Sainz?
I really do. I agree with Chris on that one. It does make sense. And they've got to be careful. Russell is now leading in this team. You've got to kind of put Hamilton aside, right? So the team leader is Russell. That's their next world champion. That's the way you got to think about this. So how, if that is the case, because I don't believe that Alonso would be a good move at all. Yeah. So the question is, do you bring a kid like Kimi Antonelli in, or do you complement him with a solid pair of hands, a Perez-like person, and Sainz is that. So, and also, you've got to think, constructors is just as important to Toto, and so, unlike Perez, he wants somebody like Sainz who is going to be pushing, at least. I mean, you think about it, that's a hell of a pairing, those two.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about the world title, then yeah, that is the right choice.
Yeah. And look, we'll see how Mercedes looks as the year goes on, too. We've got plenty of time for them to work on their car. Chris, it sounds awfully quiet in Bahrain.
Yeah, it's gone quiet now. Everyone's kind of packing up to get things to Jeddah, but shipping out a lot of them. And there's some music going on the other side of Grandstand, but it does seem to have died down a little bit at the moment. A lot of debriefs going on. I was hanging around a lot still at VCARB or RB, because I really do want to get the bottom of what's gone on there with Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo. Now, it sounds like Laurent Mercier is really having to fight a fire there. There's a lot going on. As I said about Sonoda's manager maybe being upset, but as you guys have alluded to, there's this footage of the final lap that is pretty damning towards Sonoda. That's something that you really don't want to be doing. And from the Ricciardo camp, they're kind of like, wow, that was massively unexpected. But also massively dangerous and does need kind of ironing out. They're like, you know, we can't have the risk of the cars getting damaged there. And, you know, if contact had been made, the two cars had been damaged, I imagine we'd be seeing Liam Lawson driving for VCARB next weekend.
Wow!
Because that's yeah. I mean, well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean,
he's proven
that's
he can
what
do
you
got to
do.
For that.
Yeah, that's really all you can do is sit the guy.
And so, if this continues,
having seen the imagery now, it's bad, isn't it? So it is. I think that's, you know, Mekis hasn't emerged yet. So
and Helmut Marko wouldn't have a problem at all.
Yeah, Helmut Marko, that's his favorite thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Swap a driver?
I don't think their former boss, Franz Tost, wouldn't stand for it either.
Nope.
He's right cut from the Helmut Marko mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, though, isn't it? The big strength of Yuki in recent years, that people have been talking about, has been the way he's become calmer behind the wheel.
Yeah.
The way everything's kind of chilled out. And the fact that now... we've had the first race, and after the race, he's shown that sort of
after the race
lack of control of his emotions. Yeah,
and why take it out on Ricciardo? It's not really Ricciardo's fault, is it?
No, and the feedback I've had is that Yuki was actually told two laps earlier than that to move over to sort the positions, and we heard the team radio where it's like, "Are you kidding me now?" And I think I do kind of understand that point of view for him, but with the tyre difference that they had, it was the time to try something for the team. Mm-hmm. But he delayed a couple of laps, and they're saying, look, you've got the soft tires and you're trying to get a little bit of the advantage from that, and then suddenly, you know, the driver head doesn't move over and you're in a dirty air for a bit longer and you're having to basically not use them at the time you want to use them, then that's damaging to your chances too. So
do you think could have caught Magnussen done what they were supposed to do?
Certainly, potentially, yeah. Would have had a better chance, I think, is the point. But it's fine margins, isn't it? It's small hypothetical things. But yeah, I think he would have had a better shot at it.
All right, we're out of time, everybody. And Chris just said, Wheel to Wheel, our midweek show. Look it up. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to listen to that and everything else we do. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering. In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.